Hi, this is Mallory Nye, and welcome to my podcast series, Mallory Nye, Writer and Academic. This is podcast 11, in which I'm going to be talking about slavery, and in particular, thoughts and issues that have come from my reading of Ta-Nehisi Coates' new book, Between the World and Me. It's based on a Huffington Post blog that I wrote on the 17th of August, entitled Slavery, What the Hell Were We Thinking? How the White British Should Be Angry and Shamed About Our Ancestors. Imagine a story, a plot for an epic Hollywood blockbuster. It tells the tale of how two brothers clash. Let's call them John and David. John steals from David, mistreating him, defiling and humiliating him, taking everything and more from his sibling. What happens in the next generation? When the mistreated David's children grow into adulthood, do they forgive and seek reconciliation with their unrepentant cousins, John's own children? Or do they seek justice or revenge? If we were watching such a Hollywood movie, who would the audience sympathise with? I think you're with me on this one so far. We would most likely all root for the unfortunate David and his children. So why don't we then? Let's take another scenario. A white kid in America, what you'll often hear when the topic of contemporary race and racism is raised. They'll say, why should I feel guilty? I didn't make slavery happen, and I haven't taken any land from Indians, so you shouldn't make me feel bad. But really, white privilege is not about feeling guilt. No one needs that. It is also not about being or not being a racist. In fact, very often racism is prevalent among people who don't even think they are racists. The act of ignoring or denying one's white privilege is itself a form of racism. In his most recent book, Between the World and Me, the American writer Ta-Nehisi Coates points out that there are no racists in America, because the people who believe themselves to be white are obsessed with the politics of personal exoneration. Nobody, not even racists, want to be thought of as racists. Coates cites the example of the white residents of Levittown, Pennsylvania, in 1957, who argued for their right to keep their town segregated. As moral, religious, and law-abiding citizens, the group wrote, we feel that we are unprejudiced and undiscriminating in our wish to keep our community a closed community. And he also gives us the anecdote of an entertainer who insisted, I'm not a racist, as his explanation and defense after having been filmed repeatedly yelling nigger at a heckler. Perhaps we should start conjugating the verb to have white privilege as such. They are a threat. We are white. I am not a racist. It's not surprising, perhaps, that Michael Mark Cohen recently highlighted the term douchebag as the white racist slur we've all been looking for. But what I'm talking about here is not the shame of being outed as an inelegant racist, again to borrow one of Coates' terms. It is about recognizing that there is real harm and real pain caused by our racist histories, whether we feel good about ourselves or not. So why should we be angry for slavery? Because it happened, and in having happened, it dehumanized us. Like the Jewish Holocaust in Central Europe, the descendants of the perpetrators cannot ever come close to atoning for that evil, that mundane evil, unless we recognize that it was done by people very like us. Ordinary people allowing themselves to commit heinous, barbaric acts against other people. Yes, in the history of British slavery, there was William Wilberforce, anti-slavery, and so on. The people and groups that challenged and stopped the system's brutality. But they were, in fact, the bare minimum. Of course, history should have thrown up an anti-slavery movement, but it came along at a very late stage. Indeed, there was over 250 years of British slave trading before it finally ended. It took that long for a Wilberforce to emerge at last. 250 years. And yes, others did slavery too. The Spanish and Portuguese, French and Dutch and Arabs, etc. But that's no excuse. It's like saying we shouldn't worry so much about the Shoah in Germany because of what happened in Rwanda, Cambodia, and so on. The fact is that some appalling things were done in the name and with the backing and support of the British state. Slavery isn't some incidental thing. It required the kidnap of a person, their imprisonment in captivity, their shipping across an ocean in the most barbarous of conditions, and then their sale and resale as a commodity, a piece of property. It involved the wrenching apart of families, husbands from wives, wives from husbands, children from their parents. It involved a system of force, of violence, of rape, to keep individuals and groups in their place, as slaves. It was a system that dehumanized humans. Not only the people held in violently enforced captivity, but also the people who did the enslaving. And we, the white British of today, owe much of our good fortune and privilege to that system, even though it has long gone. And so, coming to terms with that today in the 21st century is not merely about opening our eyes to the things from that sordid past that we have chosen to ignore, the racial wallpaper that is all around us, the Confederate flags and monuments in the US, the statues and the wealth of the families of slave owners in the UK, the wealth and power of these two nations that were built on that economy of stealing human property. A small example of this shouted out at me as I drove home this evening, a billboard advertising a prominent independent school in Perthshire with a long and distinguished history of excellence. The advert displayed prominently that it was founded by Gladstone in 1847. That is the man who later became Prime Minister, who had recently helped his slave-owning father receive over £100,000 in compensation in 1834. Today's equivalent of that amount would be £83 million for the emancipation of his 2,500 slaves. That's over US$125 million. If we scratch the surface of much of British public life, we will find the indelible stain of such slave ownership. Yes, we should open our eyes and see such things, and remember what our ancestors did. Because we have been taught to forget, to ignore, to brush these things under a rug of benign history. All right, it happened, we think, but it was a long time ago. We've moved on since then. And that in itself is also something that we should be angry about, the seeming benignity of being encouraged to forget and to believe we have been forgiven. Whoever told us that it was all right to forget? It was the people who themselves profited from the slavery. Despite our best efforts to move on, in fact, that history is still with us. We have a Prime Minister, David Cameron, whose life has been shaped on the back of his ancestors' slaves, his privileged education, his social position, his impeccable accent, all a result of the cascade of slave-earned wealth down to his parents and onwards. When slavery was abolished in the British Empire in 1834, the people who were compensated were the slave owners, not the freed slaves, many of whom took years to become free. A total of £20 million was paid to the owners in compensation, the equivalent of around £16 billion today. A mind-boggling amount of money that set up many families for generations. Even more so, the history is still with us in another way. America is still a nation created and moulded by slavery, between white slave powers and their descendants and black African slaves and descendants of slaves, a society that moved from slavery to Jim Crow to segregation to unequal opportunities in education, employment, housing. It is a society in which the black population literally fear for their lives when a police car drives past them. It is a society where a Twitter hashtag of Black Lives Matter causes controversy. From the viewpoint of Britain, though, we have drifted into thinking of slavery as a distant evil, in the Caribbean and North America, away from the day-to-day living of normal everyday life. But this was a country at the apex of the North Atlantic Triangle of trade, Britain, Africa, America, Britain. It was the British who benefited most from the flow of goods and people as goods. And eventually, many of the people who were forced from Africa to the Caribbean chose to connect up that triangle and move to Britain. The African-Caribbean descendants of slaves who now make up the 2 million black British population. The Empire Windrush helped to bring that history back to the place that first drove it. Britain too has its social legacy from the slave trade we instigated and benefited from. We live with our own racism and tensions based on that shameful legacy. And as I've quoted in an earlier episode, as Ta-Nehisi Coates has so eloquently argued about the USA, having been enslaved for 250 years, black people weren't left to their own devices. They were terrorized. And the notion that black lives, black bodies, and black wealth were rightful targets remained deeply rooted in the broader society. Now we have half stepped away from our long centuries of despoilment, promising never again, but still we are haunted. It is as though we have run up a credit card bill, and having pledged to charge no more, remain befuddled that the balance doesn't disappear. The effects of that balance, interest accruing daily, are all around us. This is the legacy of slave trading, slave owning, and an economy fueled by harsh, extreme exploitation and rape. This is what has cascaded down the generations to the present day, and is being lived out in the broken bodies of Sandra Bland, Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, Stephen Lawrence, and many more. And so when we look back on the actions of those earlier generations of slave owners, who perpetrated such overwhelming crimes, we shouldn't wallow in the simplicity of guilt. We should undoubtedly feel shame, since unless we acknowledge the crimes, we are implicated in their consequences. But most of all, we should feel anger, a powerful, consuming anger that we have been left to pick up the bill. This is what we have been left, by people who built houses and empires on the flogged backs of others, those who enjoyed the plenty and the spoils of this inhuman economy have left us to live with its inevitable mess. And we should be angry that our ancestors never once look forward to these future times, when the descendants of the people they enslaved would turn to us to remind us of the injustice of what was done. What the hell were they thinking in creating their world on the backs of slaves? How on earth did they think they would ever get away with it? So that was published on the Huffington Post blog just a few days ago on the 17th of August. A couple of days later, a comment was posted by someone identifying themselves as of King's College London, which read as follows. I quote it to give you an idea of a certain type of response to the ideas I was trying to discuss. He said, "All Europeans had slaves. The slave trade was global, and it wasn't just confined to the white British, as you so eloquently put it. We, the British, were slaves long before that, to the Vikings and the Romans and numerous other invaders. People should get over it and move on like we had to. The Romans were far more vicious than any slave traders. A lot of slaves were voluntarily sold by their tribal chiefs. Your article is a lot of hysterical, cheap hype. Nobody I know gives a shit about the slave trade. The British have lost millions, yes, millions of men, women and children in two wars fending off Nazis. So don't talk to me about white British. You are a simpleton and a fool who likes to draw attention to oneself by writing and, I suppose, talking dribble and to pamper the ignorant who believe in all your hidden innuendos. You are a disgrace to all those who died protecting freedom. Slavery was a way of life then, not a British trait. Germany had thousands of slaves from Africa. If you are going to write dribble, then don't just focus on the white British. Or don't you have all the facts? Britain was named Great Britain for all the good it has done in the world, and it continues to do that good work today. It is fools like you, that's me, with a narrow and limited mindset, that's me, that tarnish all the good this British country does. If the Nazis had their way, there would be no Africans, etc. alive to read your dribble. I will say it again, you are a disgrace to all the men, women and children who died fighting for world freedom. So, there you have it. That's the quote ended. The Empire has, as they say, struck and back. And all I can say is I apologise to all those who are listening to this outside of the UK who think that all of us British think and behave as well as impeccably as the Crawleys of Downton Abbey. Well, perhaps you do, perhaps you don't, but I think that comment speaks for itself. As I said, we should be angry about slavery, the legacy of slavery, very angry. And in particular, that we've been taught, as this comment shows, to think that slavery was somehow all right, and that indeed we have been forgiven for it, that we are allowed to forget it and get over it. In fact, we have not come close to making amends. So thanks for listening today, and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.